Welcome to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. It's for the week ending May 7th, and this is podcast number 86. I'm Joe Elia. This time, we talk with Dr. Adrian Hernandez about how early follow-up after hospitalization for heart failure leads to lower readmission rates in the first 30 days. For links to earlier offerings, go to podcasts.jwatch.org. And for a detailed look at what's new in clinical medicine, just aim your browser at jwatch.org. We start with a summary of the week's top clinical news. Practical advice from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices about immunizing little ones against measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella. There's a slight danger that the first shot of the quadrivalent vaccine could lead to febrile seizures when given to children between the ages of 1 and 2 years. The ACIP recommends using good old MMR and, separately, the varicella vaccine for the first dose. Second doses given between ages 4 and 6 can use the quadrivalent vaccine. The ACIP emphasizes that the risk is small, about one case per 2,500 vaccines, but it's worth avoiding. And speaking of vaccines, the herpes zoster vaccine protects well against shingles, but it's underused, according to articles in this week's Annals of Internal Medicine. The underuse stems from two main factors, both economic. A survey of primary care physicians finds that they think the vaccine is too expensive and their patients may not be able to afford it, but they also don't know how to get reimbursed for giving this stuff. It's reimbursed under Medicare Part D, which reimburses pharmacies, and not the more familiar Part B. Finally, this week, screening mammography under age 40 carries a high false positive rate. Researchers estimate in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute that if you screen 10,000 women between ages 35 and 39, you'll find 16 cancers. That's the good news. The bad news is that you'll also have over 1,200 false positives with all the attendant complications and costs of following those up. That's the news for this week. Now, on to our interview. You're listening to Clinical Conversations. JAMA this week published a paper examining the relationship between early follow-up after discharge for heart failure and the risk for readmission within 30 days. Using medical claims data, researchers traced the likelihood of readmission for any cause in some 30,000 patients who had been discharged from a total of 225 hospitals. The hospitals were grouped into quartiles according to what percentage of their patients were seen within 7 days of discharge for heart failure. The short version is that the patients whose hospitals did best at having physicians follow up promptly after discharge were less likely to be readmitted within 30 days than patients of the lowest quartile hospitals. If we are trying to run a more efficient healthcare system, this would be a place where intervention might do some good. As our conversational partner today, we have the first author of that research. Dr. Adrian Hernandez is at the Duke Clinical Research Institute and the Department of Medicine of Duke University School of Medicine in Durham. Welcome, Dr. Hernandez.
Thanks for having me here.
You write in the introduction of your paper that heart failure is the most common reason for 30-day readmission among Medicare recipients. Why is it so high?
Well, there's probably several factors involved. One, it's a common disorder, especially of older patients. Two is that we're still searching on some of the therapies or interventions that could prevent hospitalization for heart failure. And then third is heart failure continues to grow in part because of the success of treatment of other diseases. So, for example, patients who have heart attacks or have had sudden death in the past actually can survive those events. Mm-hmm. And so then they eventually develop heart failure because of the therapies that we have to treat those other problems.
I see. Well, you had a sort of a complex research question in front of you, didn't you? You had to adjust somehow for the fact that, of course, the sickest patients are most likely to go back early for whatever reason. And so to get beyond that, if I understand the research, what you did is you characterized the hospitals and their general behavior in seeing patients early after discharge. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So each hospital will have a set of patients that will have different conditions. So there may be hospitals that have referral patterns that they get sicker patients compared to other hospitals. And so you need to adjust for that. The other issue is that if you just consider any individual patient, their patient may or be more likely to be readmitted, may more likely to have a follow-up scheduled, or they have urgent visits, so they have unscheduled follow-up because they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to somehow take account for those factors, and that's what we attempted here.
Now, I said in the introduction that you looked at readmissions for all causes. Was that correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. All right. The range of early follow-up, the range of behavior among hospitals really varied widely, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I mean, it's pretty surprising. We thought that, you know, most practices or hospitals would have a fairly standard approach in terms of following up patients, and we can see that there was a pretty wide variation. So, for example, there are some hospitals that have established early follow-up for over 60%, and there are some hospitals that have hardly any early follow-up of their patients being discharged.
I saw it in the chart in your paper that there were some that were 10% and under, and you just wonder what's going on in those hospitals. These were all hospitals that were participants in a larger database of patients with heart failure. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, really to put it in context, I mean, the hospitals that were in this database were participating in a quality improvement initiative. So if anything, the findings that we have here are fairly conservative, that if you were to expand this from the 225 hospitals that we looked at here to the 3,000 or 4,000 hospitals in the U.S. that admit patients with heart failure, imagine the findings would be pretty different in terms of, one, having overall lower early follow-up, and two, a much larger variation.
The median was about, let's see, let me see if I can express this correctly. Hospitals, on average, tended to see heart failure patients discharged come back within 7 days about a third of the time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, if this were increased, say you got it up to, you know, so everyone was way up there and you had, that was the rule rather than the exception, would we be looking at a situation in which the system would be incurring more costs because there's more utilization now?
You know, that would certainly deserve a formal analysis, but if you think of, if in fact that seeing a patient early in that visit, which is 15 minutes or maybe even less in some cases, was done and it prevented readmissions, the trade-off there of an early visit versus a 3 or 4 day hospitalization is pretty significant in terms of the cost savings. So likely this, you know, would have an impact that would be favorable in terms of cost.
Now, the difference between the hospitals, the hospitals who were least efficient at seeing their patients early after discharge, their readmission rates were significantly higher than the other three quartiles of hospitals who did see those patients, correct?
Correct.
And although the difference was significant, when you look at the percentages, there is a range around roughly 20% in which patients with heart failure get readmitted. And so the most efficient hospitals had readmission rates, say, under that mark, and the least efficient hospitals showed patients with readmission above that mark. And you say that the difference between those two is about 15%. You can save about 15% of readmissions if you are good at having your patients come in early after discharge.
Yeah, I mean, so I think in other words, on average, there's a 15% reduction in the risk of readmission for those hospitals that have more consistent early follow-up. But that also shows that it can't be the only thing for this problem. Mm-hmm. That's one part of the puzzle, potentially. Other things should be done. And again, if we were to implement such a system where we see patients early on after discharge, there could be even greater effects. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what's done in that. This is just looking at what people are doing currently.
The hospitals with the most efficient rate of follow-up were not necessarily that much better than the ones that were good, but not as good as the best.
Right. So if you consider that it's harder to differentiate those than, say, the middle group compared to the higher group, mm-hmm. It is difficult. So there are other things that need to be done for those hospitals in terms of readmission. But as a kind of a general principle, I think people have been trying to encourage systems to develop early follow-up for the transitional zone. This is probably the most helpful data to support such a program for hospitals to invest in.
Have you made changes within the Duke system?
Absolutely. So we're like anyone else. We are a big place with a lot of participants in terms of providers, not only at Duke, as well as our affiliated hospitals and referring physicians, primary care, cardiologists, hospitalists. And so we need to be able to transfer the information from an inpatient state to the outpatient setting, make sure patients are getting the right medicines, make sure they understand their medicines, make sure the family understands those things, follow up on tests, et cetera. And so what we're finding is that hospitalization is an event for these patients. If we establish a system that has patients seen early, then we can make sure that all the communication gaps are closed. And if a patient somehow isn't able to come in, that we can reach out to those patients to make sure they're doing okay.
If you could mandate something, what would you hope that hospitals would do as a result of your research?
Yes, I think two things. One is to have access to early follow-up. So right now, many clinics are full and booked out for weeks in advance. And so there needs to be a way for patients to come in at the clinic within a week, make sure they're doing okay clinically, make sure they got their medications, and make sure they understood the test results that they had mm-hmm. during that hospital stay. And in part, that will require systems to change depending on how practices are organized on a local level. And then the second thing is that for those patients who can't get into clinic early, they either have transportation issues or access to care issues because it's hard for them to get out of the home, they're frail, whatever it is, to have something that can reach out to those patients' homes to make sure they're doing okay. There are new technologies that are being developed every day. They can help with that, but it could be just a simple phone call assessment during that early period to see if they are doing okay. So those two things probably would be good for hospitals to consider.
Well, that's good advice, Dr. Hernandez. I want to thank you very much for your time with us today.
Appreciate it.
Well, that's it for another week. You can reach Clinical Conversations at 1-617-440-4374. Earlier podcasts are all available at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adoriano. I'm Joe Elia. Thanks for listening. Join us next time.